Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Max Schultz. I'm a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute's Center for Energy Policy and the Environment. I want to welcome you all this morning. Thanks for coming. Our numbers are a little thin this morning because of the budget votes on the Hill, but we're recording this morning's session, and we're going to get a transcript disseminated on Capitol Hill, so we're going to try to cover that base. One of the longest-running political sagas in modern memory is the ongoing one of what to do with the nation's spent nuclear fuel. The federal government has been officially committed to building the geologic repository at Yucca Mountain for decades and has collected billions of dollars from ratepayers to do so. But as we all know, the project has been mired in controversy and progress has been agonizingly slow. During the campaign last year, Barack Obama said that he opposed opening Yucca Mountain, and his budget proposal aims at slashing funding for it to record low levels. In the wake of that budget announcement, I think it's become evident that the administration really doesn't have a clear idea of what it thinks we should do with the nearly 60,000 metric tons of nuclear waste that are currently sitting on site at our nation's commercial nuclear reactors, and not to mention the substantial amount of defense-related waste that's always been destined for Yucca Mountain. Well, there are obvious problems here. While spent fuel is stored safely and securely on site, I don't think anyone would argue that that is a permanent solution. And you know, there are concerns about the rising levels of spent fuel at nuclear plants, worries that those may be forced to shut down if storage becomes full. And moreover, not having a clear resolution to the waste question threatens to imperil the so-called nuclear renaissance that we hear about. Certain states, like California, have prohibitions against building new reactors unless the waste situation is resolved. And investors have been wary to move forward in part because of concerns about spent fuel. So the question really is, what is to be done? And the Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, said recently that he wants to convene a Blue Ribbon Commission to study the issue and come up with a set of recommendations by the end of the year. Well, that sounds a lot like starting from scratch. So we thought that we would assemble our own kind of Blue Ribbon panel this morning to address some of these questions and to discuss ways and what the options are for moving forward. So to kick that off, we're really honored to have with us this morning the man who's perhaps the principal architect of American nuclear energy policy over the last quarter century, and that's Pete Domenici. Senator Domenici left the Senate in January of this year after 36 years, in which he left a substantial legacy both on the Budget Committee and at the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. I worked at the Department of Energy for several years, and one of my two bosses there, Spence Abraham, often said, "Thank God Pete Domenici is up on Capitol Hill because he's one of the very few people who knows what's going on." And my other boss, Sam Bodman, thought enough of the senator that one of his last acts in office before he left in January was to rename a portion of the Los Alamos National Lab in honor of Senator Domenici. He has left the Senate, but he hasn't left the public policy debates. He's now a senior fellow at the Bipartisan Policy Center here in Washington, and he's their heavyweight on energy issues. And I'm very grateful that he accepted our invitation to come this morning, and I hope that you will join me in welcoming Senator Pete Domenici.
Thank you, Max. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. For a senator that served 36 years in the United States Senate, the story is out today about Ted Stevens and the Judiciary Department of the United States of America. Make this a strange sort of day for me. I really can hardly believe what has happened to Ted Stevens. I feel almost embarrassed for our national government, and certainly I have great empathy for Ted Stevens and his family. I can't imagine going through what he's gone through only to find that judge who tried the case decides that there was malfeasance on the part of those who were trying the case for the federal government in a number of ways, and then the United States Attorney General of a different party and a different president dismisses the cases against Ted Stevens. I could not let this chance this morning to at least express for myself, but regardless of where you come from and what your feelings are, I felt I had to express mine, that I don't feel very good about the American justice system when they do that to a senator on such a small and minor thing, and I know it sounds like I'm saying the wrong thing, but I'm not, and I'm very sorry about it. Max, you won't take that time out of the few minutes I have to talk about this very simple problem that we've got on nuclear waste. First of all, for almost 40 years, I've been devoting my life to energy policy, energy legislation, and energy research funding. I am astonished at the lack of progress toward a cohesive American energy policy that recognizes the need for a multi-pronged approach to this very big problem. At the same time, I'm saddened that the myths and propaganda about nuclear waste, myths that have led to increased carbon dioxide emissions and more dependence on foreign sources of energy. I've toured France, visited Russia, Japan, and most of the rest of the developed world, and have talked to some of the best nuclear scientists in the world. In fact, many of them live within the confines of the borders of the state of New Mexico, my state. And I must conclude that America has made bad policy choices driven by myth and general anti-nuclear hysteria. The grand mistake of all occurred about 30 years ago regarding reprocessing, the reprocessing of nuclear waste. President Jimmy Carter believed that if America were to not reprocess, then all of the other nations would follow suit, said he. And what a profound error. We didn't, they did. And we remained in the didn't status while some of the world made progress toward recycling. Propaganda that was in abundance. Three Mile Island and the hysteria, overreaction to a contained nuclear accident is something you cannot believe happened to your country, our country, and informed people. Chernobyl followed, and we still hear about it. We've heard about it so much and so long that you wonder whether you have to, in a talk with people like you today, even say anything about it other than to say, here's another one that came along that is almost irrelevant to what we are doing in our country, yet it's long up alongside the myth side of the equation. The myth that America could have an energy policy that would work without nuclear power, in part because of the alleged problem of nuclear waste. That's the biggest myth of all. And the notion that other forms of energy were much more efficient and less dangerous. Meanwhile, ignored the fact that all forms of energy production have negative consequences, but we don't talk about them. Coal, hydropower, solar cell fabrication, windmills, and all at least have as many downsides as nuclear energy generation. Solar energy and wind energy have become the energy sources of the day. Yet, one source of suitable for only certain climates and certain seasons, while the other is very intermittent. All energy sources are needed. Nuclear, hydro, and solar, clean coal, biomass, because while all energy sources contain good, none of them is perfect. Why nuclear power? Well, nuclear energy is highly efficient, with generating plants operating at 92% of the time, compared with 60% for coal, natural gas at 50%, and wind at 30%. Nuclear energy is the key energy generation with the least adverse impact on climate and climate change. Nuclear plant design and safety features make nuclear power generation one of the safest energy sources available, if not the safest. In short, the nuclear energy kills two birds with one stone. It produces dependable base load generation, and it is critical to emission mitigation. And what about the problems of nuclear waste? The alleged problems of handling nuclear waste has become the final argument put forth by the opponents of nuclear power. Yet, Nuclear waste management is not a problem now and will not be for the foreseeable future, and is subject to right now, where we store it on site, it is subject to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission licensing, a strong indication that it can remain this way for quite some time. I don't think we ought to begin to solve this problem, putting in our minds that we have only a short time to get this waste removed from the sites that it's currently at, where we've had nuclear licensing and extremely adequate and almost excessive safety measures that take place around the sites. We used pools and casks for present nuclear waste, and waste from nuclear generation produces no carbon dioxide, doesn't take up huge amounts of land like solar, produces no visual pollution like windmills. Nuclear waste is an extremely small amount of spent fuel in a solid ceramic form, shielded from intrusion. What should we do with nuclear waste in the future? I support more nuclear power generation, even though I recognize that Yucca Mountain will never be used for the storage of spent fuel rods. Let me say it a little differently. If we conclude that that is going to be the case, and I assume we're very close because of the attitude of the administration and the funding level and the attitude of the Congress, then if that's what we're going to do, then it would seem to me that we can nonetheless proceed with the licensing of nuclear power plants while we solve this other problem. Remember that all the nuclear waste from power reactors produced in the United States over the past 50 years will fit into one football field 7 meters deep. Nuclear waste also contains huge amounts of additional energy that is wasted if it is permanently entombed. So I support the recycling of nuclear waste using much of that remaining 93% of potential energy that is nuclear waste. I recognize that enriched uranium right now holds a cost advantage over recycling of waste. But recycling must be part of the energy future. Recycling not only produces huge amounts of energy, but it dramatically reduces the size of waste and its half-life. We need to continue to educate policymakers about science and nuclear energy, dispelling the myths. We need to press for the government to use the monies that and the loan guarantees in the two major energy policy acts of 2005 and 2007 to boost nuclear energy. We need to counter the demagogues and the propagandists at every turn. And let me repeat, we must make available the $29 billion that is currently in trust, so as to speak, and make sure that if it's going to be spent, that it be spent, even if we must change the law, be spent for research and development towards recycling and for the costs of recycling. If we can do that by getting the entire group of interests that are there for nuclear power in the future and are there for recycling or whatever we use, I believe that's what we must do in any event. We need to counter the demagogues, as I've said, and propagandists at every turn. We must increase funding for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission so that it has the manpower to move applications to approval or disapproval as quickly as possible. I think they're doing a good job now, but at every turn we must accommodate them to as much revenue as they can use to keep on the timetable that they're on. I believe we're going to hear good things from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which is a group of people that has the best understanding of the problems that confront licensure and moving ahead with nuclear power plants. So we have to increase funding for them if they need it. They have the manpower. They must be funded so that all the applications can be approved in a timely manner. We must continue to make common ground with those who are dedicated to mitigating climate change. We must maintain the $29 billion that I spoke of a while ago that's in the trust fund so it can be used to accelerate research and development into recycling and disposal. In short, we need a comprehensive, fully funded American policy for recycling of nuclear waste. Let me conclude my remarks with a quote from that summarizes part of the problem with energy policy in the past. Let's hope it is not permitted to fester again. In the prologue of his book, quote, Terrestrial Energy, close quote, that's terrestrial, T-E-R-R, Kaczmierski of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Colorado said, I've spent the past decade trying to get the nuclear and solar people in the Department of Energy to talk to each other. The nuclear people think that the solar people are a bunch of hippies, and that the solar people think the nuclear people are a bunch of Nazis. There's just no communication, says he. We cannot let the clash of cultures dominate our energy policy anymore. Thank you. It was good to share some thoughts with you. I'll be here for a while, and hopefully from the other speakers and from your questions, we will have an exciting and fun day. Thank you.
We'll take a couple questions.
Yes.
Thank you. The senators agreed to take a couple questions, if any of you have. I would like to kick it off, if you wouldn't mind. And would you be able to talk for a few minutes about the waste isolation pilot plant in your own state? It's the 10th anniversary of its opening this week. And what are the lessons that we can learn from that in terms of how we go forward with waste storage for our commercial nuclear waste?
A good question. And thank you, Max. I think you know that the only place in the world where we have a repository for nuclear waste, long-lived nuclear waste, albeit transuranic, it's very long-lived, the only place that we have a repository that is operative, that you can measure, you can evaluate, is at Carlsbad, New Mexico, Carlsbad in the county of Eddy in the state of New Mexico. There is a gigantic, deep salt dome, and I mean gigantic. That salt dome was evaluated long before WIP, Waste Isolation Pilot Project, was selected for operation there. That site was selected as one of the longest dormant, solid, immobile pieces of geography in the world. Millions upon millions of years have elapsed with no movement, no activity in that salt. It became a true isolation spot. And so after years of wrangling, after debate, after yelling and screaming, after attempts to stop the trucks from moving in by putting a Volkswagen in the middle of an intersection, only to find that the six state policemen could move it, and they just got up and walked it off the road, and the big truck went on in, and now we have moved thousands of trucks with not a single accident. They are very big trucks, but they fit the road nicely. They have governors on the speed. There's never even been a dent in one of them as they move up and down the highway, taking waste from Idaho up to Los Alamos and from Los Alamos down there. It is a show place for the world in terms of the use of salt of this type as the permanent repository for waste. I truly believe it is there as an example, and I truly believe that America's policy toward disposal of nuclear waste should include in it that the high-level waste, once recycled, reduced in size dramatically, and reduced in longevity of radiation enormously, that the final resting place for our nuclear waste should be salt. If I didn't say that in my remarks, I should have. I think I did, but let me repeat it. If you want to put Pete Domenici in a place, put me where I believe once we do recycling to reduce the amount and the radiation level, I believe there is a final disposal place for it. And I think you could start with a national effort to put high-level military waste there. See what people think about it. I'm not saying we should do it. See what the people down there think about it. We have it waiting to be moved. It's already reprocessed. We could have an isolation pilot project for that and see how it worked. That's the first time I've said this as openly as I am, but I truly believe that something like it should be proposed to the people. I can't do it alone, and I'm not suggesting I would. I believe it's difficult, but the question is terrifically relevant, and I believe my conclusion is relevant to the discussion that's before our nation. Thank you, Max. Yes, ma'am. Sure, yes, indeed.
I'm sorry. Wasn't there some restriction on other wastes? Didn't the state of New Mexico want some guarantees WIP would not be used beyond the specific uses in WIP?
No question. What I'm talking about, there is no authority to do it, but we don't have authority to do it anywhere. So I'm talking about starting from scratch with a plan. We'd have to go back to New Mexico and start anew. It would be a completely different set of arrangements that would have to be made with the leadership in New Mexico. I don't even know where they stand at this point. I'm telling you where Pete Domenici, what I would be willing to work for and work with people on, because I believe we have that the proof in the pudding right there. And obviously, I've come to the I think you will find in the annals of the Department of Energy, they've already come to the conclusion, not thinking about WIP, but just looking at places to entomb, they've come to the conclusion that the kind of salt domes we have are the right place for ultimate disposal of nuclear waste. Now, that is already a conclusion that's been reached. Yes, sir. That's you.
Thank you for your remarks, Senator.
You're welcome.
I wondered what you think about the concept of the independent panel to look at options. The Yucca Mountain project seemed like it was twisting in the wind a long time before the Obama budget decision, but we still got a lot of applications for new nuclear power plants, and I wondered what's the catalyst for moving forward to examine alternatives such as recycling and regional away from reactor storage?
I'm not sure what you asked me.
I guess the basic thing is, what do you think about the establishing
the
independent commission?
Well, as I understand it right now, there's an argument going on, and I thought it was, I'm not involved, but I thought I understood that it was resolved. And that is, should the Congress establish an independent commission, or should the executive branch form it? And I believe the executive branch among Democrats won out, and that if they're going to do one, it will be done by the executive branch nominating them. And that meant the Secretary of Energy, but I think we all understand that means the President. It would be his, whether they said the Secretary of Energy, but it'll be executive. I think that's where they are. I think if they want to do it, certainly the Congress, this Democrat Congress, is not going to have a fight with them, I don't think, about it. There'll be an awful fight as to who is on it. And that will be who was put on will determine where we go. If they put in, you could pick the people that would make sure we never went anywhere. You could pick the people that would probably move it ahead, and you could put people who would be very careful and want to start a lot of things over. I guess those would be the three categories of people. I think if they want to do that, and if you legitimately get a commitment that they're going to appoint informed people that don't have no axe to grind, it probably would serve some purpose, but you know it's going to have to go through some old ground, and we've already gone through. I wish we would do it another way, but I guess you could do it that way. I've just stated another way that I think it could be done, and that would be to get concurrence from the industrial leaders of nuclear power that we would not throw away that fund that's sitting there. We would keep it to be used for research and development on the subject, and to be used to build it. We do know that right now uranium is cheap, and we couldn't hardly do this and be competitive for a while, but it would take a while to do the research, so they might meet up at a timely way, timely manner out there somewhere, and you'd get started on both. Yes, ma'am.
As the strongest proponent or supporter of nuclear power. And I'm wondering specifically, John McCain on the Energy Committee has come out and said that he has a lot of legislation that he would like to bring up to ensure the continued growth of the nuclear industry. I'm just wondering sort of if you see your mantle passing on to anyone and if that might be Senator McCain or if it might be someone else.
Well, I don't want to change anyone's aspirations. If he wants to do something, it's up to him. I wish I could tell you that there's somebody that wants to devote the amount of time I did for the next 2 or 3, 4 years. That would really be super if they were also in the right place, but I don't think we have some. Although it probably will surprise you that to find out how many senators favor proceeding. Probably a lot, and maybe one of them can turn out to be the leader. Senator Sessions has certainly tried. He's out there. A couple of others are. I know Senator Murkowski would like to. She's obviously, by her virtue of her election and who elects her, she has some other causes that are big and controversial, Anwar, and all those that stem from it. So, but I guess the answer is no, that I don't know anybody. Let's see, Max, how about 3 or 4 more? Is that all right? Okay, yes, ma'am.
Senator, excuse me. Senator, if you were asked to serve on the commission, would you do so?
Well, it's not. I should jump to it and say, of course. And so I'd say, if I'm not already on something that makes it a conflict, and I'm not that I know of, but. I would be glad to do it if they thought I could be helpful. I would certainly, I don't think we need a long, long time, so I may be different than others. I think between the Department of Energy and others, that all the information we need is there. I think the issue of entombment in salt is the final disposition. I believe the experts are going to say salt ore, and they've got a number of other earth types substances that they say it could be in and would never move. I'm going to tell you a funny story about salt and whip. I wish I knew the science nomenclature for the experiments that were taking place because I can't remember them. But I was invited to experience that was going to take place down at 2,400 feet underground in the salt tomb, around Carlsbad. And it has its own famous elevators that take everything down. And on this one, we're going to get down there, you go left, and you go on down through the mine, and long ways down there, you find these giant rooms, and that's where they're storing this. It'll be there forever. No movement. If you go to the right, where there's none of that taking place, no transuranic waste, nothing. You go this way, in the same underground mine, and there's an experiment taking place underground, the same salt dome that's housing transuranic waste. And there's an experiment being conducted by a giant researcher, giant both in stature, and he's from Milano, Italy, so he's a big Italian man. They wanted to meet him because they wanted the Stanford PhD Italian to meet the Senator PhD, Senator Domenici, both Italians. I went down there, and here's this research taking place in the salt. And the research is being conducted by a group that could find no place in the world, underground or anywhere, that is more quiet and has less radioactive insults than to use the same underground salt that 2 miles away is entombing radioactive nuclear waste. And they have this big experiment taking place in the part of the world that is the most quiet, less impacted by radiation than any other place in the world, and they wanted to show it to me. Well, of course, I was excited to see the experiment, but I was excited to be able to tell you what I just seen. I mean, That you see, they looked all over for everything. They, at first, 5 years ago, they were going down in an old coal mine, which had not been operative and had big open spaces that were mined years ago. Well, found out that there was too much radioactivity in the mine. There wasn't none in the salt that they could find, and so they did it in the salt instead of an old abandoned coal mine. I don't know why I said that, but I think it makes sense. Is that all right? Who else had their hand up? Right here.
Senator, the previous administration provided a great deal of support for advanced reprocessing and recycling technologies in the Global Energy Partnership and the Advanced Fuel Cycle Initiative, and ultimately those plans were scaled back somewhat, but as we continue to pursue R&D on fast reactors and advanced reprocessing and technologies to eliminate more of the waste than can be eliminated in the current generation of reactors, should we initially build a conventional reprocessing plant in the United States using the standard technology that's been used around the world, or should maybe at some place like the Savannah River lab, or should we wait until these more advanced technologies are developed and available?
Please don't ship it to
the Savannah River.
Wasn't my suggestion.
Listen, they put this plan together, Savannah River would be running down the river trying to get it. It's such a great, great project. They wouldn't be running it out, so you're a little behind schedule.
I represented the Savannah River site for almost 30 years.
You still aren't up to date on how good this would be.
All I know is I don't want any more junk down.
Well, I go to meetings down there. There's sure a lot of people don't think what we're doing in Savannah River junk. I don't know, maybe you do, but I didn't hear that from 2,000 people that had a dinner one night in my honor for matters that pertain to this. But and we don't have an argument about it. We're friends, you and I. You used to have arguments with other guys, not me, right, when I was chairman?
No, you were always wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was Ted Stevens who wasn't. He was great. Okay, yes, sir. Oh, I don't know. I don't have an answer. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know which way we ought to go. I'm sorry. We have to get that presented to me so I could start over. I'm kind of short on that research. I'm sorry. Yes.
Senator, as you acknowledge, some of the technologies that you favor are not economical today. Could you describe what you believe the appropriate federal role is in terms of subsidizing technologies, both energy technologies, other technologies? When is it, in your view, is it appropriate to use federal taxpayer funds to subsidize technology, and when is it inappropriate?
I can't do that, sir, but I can just tell you this. I can tell you, and I could give you a theoretical answer, how far you move, and when it moves from this to this, you stop being government and start being government. But I would say that clearly the answer to what should be used for this is found in the law with reference to the taxes that were imposed on the utilities, a small tax that created this giant trust fund, which now approaches $29 billion and collects about $660 million a year. And that was for research, development, and whatever is needed to make Yucca work in terms of a nuclear repository attitudes. So that much we know, that part of government should be used for that because it was collected for that. But let me go beyond it and say nuclear waste, if you had the right plan and were ready to go, you could find the money to do the research. If it was a 1, 2, 3, do this research followed by this research, you could get the money from the industry, from the people who'd stand to benefit from it. That's the way I would approach it. Instead of trying to get the general government to pay for it, I would try to get the beneficiaries of it to pay for it, and I think they would. Anything else? Yes?
I meant, we have tanks down there.
I understand.
That were built to hold waste for 25 years, and they've been there 60 years, and we're right over the Tuscaloosa aquifer, and that if some of them have started to
leak.
Of course, the MOX project is well on the way, that hopefully will relieve some of that. But, you know, I was part of that, you and Bennett Johnson and I, and drafting the nuclear waste bill back in the early 1980s. And, of course, we selected a couple of sites, and we're kind of positive that it's going to go where Yucca is now. I was very discouraged to hear you say that you thought that Yucca would never fill the purpose. Now, I understand, you know, everybody doesn't live forever. Everybody doesn't get elected forever. And, you know, I know the, I don't wish them any harm, but I know the delegation in New Mexico is against it.
If they against what?
Were not against it, not New Mexico, I'm sorry, Nevada. And if they were not against it, how do you think the Senate and the House would fall out?
Well, look, I think we made mistakes on Yucca Mountain all over the place, and the biggest mistake is obviously the one that we didn't have anything to do with, and that was to get Harry Reid on the other side. But that was a bad political mistake. But in the meantime, what my talk would say, and I think what others follow, that the idea of putting spent fuel rods in their spent fuel rod mode as a spent fuel rod, of putting it away and in this case putting it underground at Yucca Mountain is foolhardy. And we shouldn't even have that idea. We shouldn't do that. We're putting underground more energy than we used. We could use 7% of it, and then we were going to say we're going to deposit it somewhere. That's really crazy. We shouldn't do that. Secondly, what we found out is that as the use and had grown for nuclear power and the production of waste spent fuel rods, we found that Yucca's too small. We need 3 Yuccas to handle the waste. So it seemed to me that what I've said in my talk here to you today is that when you couple the fact that the administration wants to stop it and perhaps look at it for some other use, maybe a science laboratory or something, I don't know, it seemed to me we ought to go ahead and check it off and go to the next phase, which because we obviously can't put all of our waste there anyway. It's too small, and we ought not be putting what we plan to put in anyway. So I would move ahead to try to develop an American plan, even if it was long-term, for a final disposition in salt and destine it in advance as where we're going to put it and move everything in that direction of getting ready for that, and it would not... Certainly, Yucca would not be the place if you did that. It would be for something else. Thank you all. Thank you all very much. Great to be with you and have a wonderful day. Max, thanks for having me.
We're going to take a few minutes. I want to ask the folks on the panel to come on up and get set, and we'll get back underway in just a few minutes.